Welcome to the first ever Train Smart podcast with Velox Train Group. My name is Nick Young. I'm the owner and lead instructor for Velox Train Group. And we've got Max Gates here. He is the, what do we call you? You're the assistant instructor.
AI, Velox sure. Group. The guy that moves targets around. AI. We'll go with that.
Max is the AI. What this podcast is going to be all about is basically just having interesting conversations about training with a bunch of different people, getting different aspects or ideas about training to better help you guys, the listeners, in terms of what to do in your range days and why. So I think it would be a good idea for the first one to basically introduce ourselves, not only introduce ourselves, but maybe talk about how we got into training specifically, and maybe like the type of training that we do now. Like, how did we get into that type of training? Because I think it might surprise some of the people that are listening. We did not start off doing this type of training. Like, it was very different than what we do now. Like, very different. So maybe you go first, Max. How you got into the type of training that we do now?
Yeah.
And
so yeah, talk about that. I'll take us in the way back machine, because I think it's relevant. I grew up in central Illinois, bird hunting, right? Like my dad, we had guns in the house, but they were field shotguns. Like I've got my Browning pump in the basement still. And that's what I grew up with. We had a pistol in the house that was my grandpa brought back from World War II. It's actually a really cool high power with like the German Army serial number on it. It's super cool. But that's neat. That was the extent of the gun culture that I grew up with, right? So fast forward to probably about, I don't know, early 2000s, mid or early 2010s, about when like Travis Haley and Chris Costa were getting really big. I bought a XDM 45 and a Smith & Wesson M&P AR 15, MP Sport 15, whatever the hell it was called at the time, and decided I was going to like be the next Chris Costa. But I had bird hunting ground. Like I had a ditch in a cornfield in central Illinois. I still have videos of some of the shooting I would do. I was doing a lot. I mean, it was by myself. I watched.
You should totally post that.
It's there. it's a good look back, right? Because it's the same stuff. And honestly, we see some of this stuff still. Like, it's still in the conversation.
That's what I'm saying. You should post it.
Yeah, I torrented those videos, and I watched them, and I'm searching, assessing, lots of like squared off stance, and it was totally of a time, it was totally early 2010s, but it was just me in a field, because there really wasn't, certainly in central Illinois, but even on the national scene, there wasn't a training scene like there is now. Like, there was no one to take classes from. I could spend $1,000 and go take a Chris Costa class, but that was it. So a couple of years later, moved to North Carolina, immediately started taking as many classes as I could take. But it was like my first month here, I took a solo defense and MDFI class. Solo defense brought Trek with MDFI out, took a class with him. Very defensive focused, and that's where my mindset was for the next, I don't know, 6 years, was all defensive all the time. Again, lots of searching and assessing, lots of being really focused on my mindset, and heart was in the right place, right? Like, we all get into guns to some extent, one, because they're just fun, and two, because we have that defensive stuff in the back of our heads. And I thought that that's what I needed to be taking classes and learning, was how to roll on the ground and how to climb over a store shelf, and took some home defense classes, but it was all really focused on defensive shooting, carrying sandbags and pretending he was your baby and stuff like that. And I'm not bagging on it because I loved it, right? I mean, I had a blast doing it, and it turned me into, you know, a pretty decent shooter because I took it seriously. But then it was you that you started going to competitions, and you said, I really ought to go to competitions. I was like, all right, that's fine. So I feel like I
did more than just say you should go. I feel like I probably bullied you.
Well, and that's
a good little bit.
All of this is peer pressure, right? It's all peer pressure. And that's, I'm sure we'll hear the same thing from you. I am driven by, like, I don't like to lose. I also grew up competition water skiing, and everything was a competition. I don't like to lose. My wife, it annoys the hell out of her. Like, I'm not good at board games. I don't do card games well. We're like, we play Mario Kart. Like, I get a little butt hurt if I lose. I don't like that. And, you know, I've been chasing you on the range since I met you. So, yeah, it was more of a like, hey, you lazy piece of shit, let's go. Awesome match in the backyard in Siler City. It's right there. Let's go. No excuse. And yeah, it was a lot of peer pressure. It was a lot of like, dude, this is what you have to do to be a decent shooter. You've got to see what these guys are doing. And I've told this anecdote a number of times. That first match that I went to at Go Shoot, there were like two Delta guys and some third group guys, and like, you know, people that I played the Delta Force computer game growing up, like we all did. Like, these guys are like, oh, this is the real deal. And so even beyond just the display of skill, it was that sort of check for me that, oh, this is what the guys who do the kind of shooting that I think I want to do, this is what they're doing. They're not rolling around in a cornfield and playing cool guy. They're shooting competition. So I bought my SIG X5 and started shooting competitions. And it never went off in the holster without me pulling the trigger. So, you know,
I don't think you've had it long enough.
It's still in the basement, and like, I shoot that gun really well, but yeah, it just gives me the willies a little bit. And so, I mean, that's when the mindset really shifted. And it's all intuitive. It makes sense if you think about it. The whole idea of, if I want to be good at the defensive stuff, like if I'm on the street and I get into a gunfight, I know how to run away. I know how to hide behind stuff. Like, I'm not an idiot. I exist in the real world. It's that shooting part that has to be dialed in, right? Like, knowing that I can lay down and shoot under a car, well, no shit. But if I can't shoot when I'm laying down and shooting under the car, I'm not going to win the gunfight. So even in defensive terms, it just made sense. And then, again, like, I don't like to be bad at anything. And not being good at competitions showed me that I wasn't good at shooting, right? I was good for the classes I was going to, and I was I could hold my own in these classes, but I was not a good shooter. And that pissed me off. And I wanted to fix that. And so that has been the goal of the last few years. And it's changed not just how I, you know, what my mentality is, but it's changed how I train, which is hopefully what this whole podcast is going to be about, right?
So 100%. Yep. Hence the name Train Smart.
That's right. Because, you know, you can, even when we talk about dry fire, because I was dry firing a bit before, but poor practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And I was practicing the wrong shit. So even when it's in that little microcosm of training and mindset and mentality and all of that, just a little piece of dry fire, making sure that I was doing that to be a better shooter and not be a better, I don't know, combat marksman or whatever the term is.
Good at being good at range theatrics.
Yeah. Right. That's the whole deal for me is understanding that, look, there's still so much discussion about footwork and all this stuff. And And there's a place for that, and there are people that are good at that, and I hope we can bring some of them on to talk about that kind of stuff. But understanding that for me, what I have to be perfect at for my world is the shooting piece.
Absolutely.
And the rest of it comes, right? Or can come. But until I have that, it's a waste of my time to go take some high-level CQB class. And to be honest, I'm going to go on a tangent here, but I took one...
You should.
I took one CQB class. It was an MDFI class, and it was a great class, so I'm not dumping on this. I hold Trek in very high regard. I really like what Eric does with MDFI, and I took his Beyond a Door class, and it was great, but what struck me was that there were a lot of guys in that class that were not shooters, right? And it's a relatively advanced class just in terms of how much thinking you have to do. And the shooting part is a pretty minor part. I mean, you're shooting Sims guns inside and you're shooting balloons and other things like that. It's really about the movement. But it struck me how frequently they would go through these rotations and these iterations in these rooms and clear a door or whatever and then miss the balloon at like 5 yards.
With a rifle.
Rifle and pistol. And it really struck me that, you know, there's a bit of a cart ahead of the horse here. Like, you're working on these footwork things, but you can't shoot. So you really aren't dedicating enough mental bandwidth to what you need to be doing with the footwork, because you're having to think way too hard about how to actually hit the target you're trying to hit, and vice versa. You're spending a lot more time on your sights shooting a balloon than you should be, when really you should be thinking about, you know, hauling ass into this room. So it put into perspective for me, like, if you're spending a bunch of time thinking about these other things, whatever it is, and you don't have the shooting part squared away, you're not getting the full benefit of any of the training that you're doing. So that's kind of what's been driving me the last few years. And it's funny watching, you know, it's like I said at the beginning, so much of that stuff that I focused on in 2012 is still out there, and there are people that are still doing it.
100%, man. 100%. And it's almost like they call it, like, yeah, it's more of like a defensive shooting class, right? Like, I remember hearing these terms back in those days, right? Because I took the same type of classes. And at the end of the day, like, now that I'm like a lot more mature shooter, and I understand a whole lot more in regards to shooting, it's like, no, it's not a defensive shooting class. It's actually just like a really bad shooting class, right? We're doing shooting that's actually really bad in this class. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I was at too. Like, I started thinking about that at the time, where I was just like, man, this is just really freaking bad shooting that is just like disguised as quote unquote defensive shooting or defensive tactics or whatever.
Yeah. It's out there, and you know, I don't mean to be totally dismissive of it. And some of it is just training tourism. Right. And I mean, I fell for that too, where it was like, all right, these are the cool instructors. Cool.
Sure.
I want to start checking some names off, baby. You know, you read people's bios online, and it was, he's trained with this guy and 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 this guy. And I thought that was going to, you know, really remarkably change how I was shooting. And it's fun. I mean, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
It's not like I didn't 100%. Enjoy doing that stuff. I had a blast carrying sandbags around and pretending like I was in the OK Corral. Like, it's a good time.
For sure.
But is it really moving the needle and making me a better shooter and a better athlete and a better member of society? Ooh, maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. So I had a very similar start, I would say. When I first started taking shooting things seriously, was basically like around the Magpul days, right? Like, I think all of us watched those Magpul DVDs, and like, personally, I was like, that is the coolest thing ever, man. As lame as that sounds, I am fully aware how lame that actually sounds, but it is true. I think those things got a lot of people started in training, right? Just because it looked really cool. So after those, like, I bought my first AR-15, and, like, I'm out in the backyard, you know, trying to figure this thing out. And, like, I'm doing things like laying supine, you know, shooting through my legs. And I'm like, man, I am so freaking ready, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, my goal was like, hey, I just want to get good at the shooting thing to protect my family and myself. That's basically it. And like, quite honestly, it's still the exact same goal. I just have a whole lot different way that I go about doing that now. But like, you know, back then, I guess, you know, it's like just about anyone in their shooting journey or whatever type of thing that they're trying to get better at, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. And I think at that time it was just like, well, I just didn't know, right? Like, I'm looking at this dude, you know, freaking mag flipping, and I'm like, this is like the most cool shit ever. So ended up taking a Chris Costa class, and like you said, I'm not gonna bag on him, right? Because like, it was fun. Like, there's video of me somewhere on YouTube. You could probably find it if you dug around, but like, there's video of me at that class. I was the only one wearing Wranglers. like horseback riding jeans. Anyway, you know, had a great time at the class, but like, looking back, it was like, you know, did I really get anything out of, you know, Chris running behind me screaming? Probably not in return, or in regards to, you know, getting return on my investment. Like, the type of shooting that I'm doing, is that actually helping me be more prepared in what I was trying to accomplish with the goals, right? And so from there, like, and I took a bunch of defensive type of classes, rolling around on the ground and gravel and all this stuff, and like checking my six. Surprisingly enough, no one was ever there. You know, and like, at the end of the day, and this is why I brought that up before, it's like, I look back at that stuff and I'm like, it wasn't a shooting class. Like, you can't call it a shooting class, because if you did, it would be like, well, this is just really bad shooting, right? Like, learning how to pin the trigger and find the reset, learning how to stare at a front sight or stare at a dot. Like, it, quite honestly, it was just bad shooting. And so, but like, I, you know, it was disguised as like defensive type of shooting. So like, that's what I was into. Fast forward a little bit, I had a friend who was like big into three gun. And this dude was like major gamer guy, right? And, you know, I was friends with him, but like, we completely disagree with the whole shooting piece. Like, he was trying to get me to go to matches, and I'm like, dude, no freaking way. You're out of your mind. Like, that has nothing to do with what I want to do in regards to the shooting stuff. And like, by the way, those gamers can't shoot anyway. So like, that was me at one point, right? And so this is kind of why I understand when I see people online like saying this stuff, I'm like, yep, I've been there. I know exactly what you're saying. And you, sir, are completely freaking wrong. Anyway, so like, all this peer pressure, I finally go. And I had to like borrow some of his stuff. Like, he's giving me like this whole like chest rig so I can carry all my shit on it, like shotgun shells and stuff. And I want to say I brought my SCAR 16 with a red dot on it. And this three gun match had targets out to like 475, 500. And I remember thinking like, I'll be totally fine. I don't need a scope. That's just for gamers, right? Like, I had all these preconceived notions about how this was going to go. And so I go to the match, and I remember thinking like, first stage, I was like, okay, like, number one, I can't see those steel targets out there. Those are gone, right? And so like, I'm like timing out stages. Dude, it was atrocious. And then I'm watching all these other guys go that do this like a lot. And I'm like, man, these guys are freaking shredding. Like, hell, I didn't see Chris Costa do what these guys are doing. And that guy I thought was the best, right? And so like, watching those guys shoot, it was just absolutely amazing to me. Like, I had never seen this type of shooting before. And like, dude, this was a freaking local match. Like, this wasn't anything special. And so I was hooked. From then on out, it was like, dude, freaking right here, stick the needle right there. Like, you got me, man. I'm in for good. And so like, from then I started doing different things in regards to training. And I remember taking a class with a guy, he would be embarrassed for me to say his name, but I'm gonna do it anyway. His name was Stephen Pineau. I think Stephen at the time trained a little bit with Chris Costa, which is probably where I, saw Steven for the first time. But I remember like Steven branched off on his own and was doing just shooting stuff, just focusing on the shooting stuff. And I remember going there, talking about accuracy, talking about grip. And I remember thinking like the first day, I'm like, dude, this guy is absolutely crushing us on grip. I had never been told any of this stuff before. And then I think on the last day, we even worked on like movement stuff, like running around, shooting around the range and stuff. And dude, that was like the first little bit of this stuff for me where I was like, dude, this is the path right here. Because not only did I see gamers like shoot better than I ever have seen in my entire life, and by the way, they absolutely demolish me, which doesn't make me feel good, right? But now I'm at this class and this dude is telling me how to do it. Like from there, it was like, hey, I started looking online for like shooting classes, like shooting specifics, right? Not defensive stuff. Like I started seeking out dudes like Frank Proctor. I remember going to a Frank Proctor class and I was like, dude, this is the heat. And like, I still like going to Frank Proctor classes. Frank was an awesome class.
He was one of the first ones that I recall you going to his class and coming back and going like, dude.
Yes.
Whole new ballgame. I mean, like we changed the way, and then I went shortly thereafter. We changed the way we were teaching, like threw everything out.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was a total mind shift. And And Steven was one of the first ones that was getting into that, by the way.
Yes.
I feel like that's worth mentioning that he was ahead of probably, I don't know if he is psyched about it now, but ahead of the curve on understanding that that's where training needed to go.
Absolutely. I mean, I can remember, I'm not going to bring up names, but like people made fun of him very hard for talking about this stuff. And I can remember thinking like, dude, that training was dope, man.
Yeah.
Like this is like just legit shooting. And I can remember like people bagging on him for it. And I was like, man, I probably won't forget these names that are doing this. And like, I completely disagree with the stuff that they're saying in regards to shooting. And I still do. But anyway, I don't want to make it about that, but seeing like Frank's stuff. And I think Frank bridged the gap for a lot of people, right? Where Frank was like, he's an SF dude and has actually done some things overseas and he was a GM. And so he like kind of bridged the gap, I think, for a lot of people in regards to like the defensive stuff or just like the plane, like, hey, this is a shooting class. So I took a bunch of Frank classes and I started figuring out, at least like looking back, I probably didn't think about this then, but like looking back, it was like, hey, this is how you train, right? Like I'm doing this stuff in Frank's class and I'm looking for specific things that he was talking about. Like he might not have said in the class, like, hey, this is how you train or like, hey, this is homework. But like I took that stuff home and I'm thinking like, okay, like this is how you get better at shooting. So from there, like I started doing a bunch of three gun matches. Shot three gun for quite a while, a couple of years, I think. And then I started digging into other stuff because my friend Eric, who peer pressures me into going to shoot different matches, was starting to get into like long range stuff, team DMR matches, stuff like that. And I remember like getting 6.5 Creedmoor, and I was like, this is cool, man. Like I am smacking steel at hell, the one place that you and I went to, it was what, 1600, I think. And I was like, hey, here we go again, right? Like put it right here in the arm, like I'm set, ready to go. That's kind of my personality, right? Like as soon as I like something a little bit and I'm like straight for it. So shot a bunch of PRS and then a little while in the PRS, it was just like, this is cool, but it's not the type of shooting that I want to do. Like I'm not going to say it's boring because it's very difficult to do well, just like anything else. But I wanted to do like more dynamic stuff, right? Kind of like what we were doing in three gun. So started shooting USPSA. Go to my first USPSA match. Like I brought a SIG X-Comp back when PMM was calling it the X-Comp and not the Tardigrade. So like I shot open miner from a safari land rig, and I was like, this is really cool. I like, this is the type of shooting that I like. And by the way, this is a whole lot cheaper than shooting PRS. So like that, yeah. There was that, right? Like I can get, at the time, I think a case of nine was like $160. So I'm shooting 17 cents around 9mm. And I basically shot everything in sight, right? Like the first year I shot probably 120,000 rounds of just like either steel case bullshit or like anything that I could find, right? So like shot USPSA, and then I started getting more serious about it. And I'm like, all right, this open miner game is for losers. And not saying that like, hey, you shoot open miner, you're a loser. No. You will never win that game. Therefore, you will always lose. And so switched over to carry optics. And I think four matches in, like my initial classification was like right at 76%. I was like, man, I don't want to be the 76% guy. I want to be like the freaking way up here guy, right? And so took a couple more classes, like legit gamer, at least what I thought was like a gamer class. I took a Steve Anderson class. Couple things about that class I think that stuck out to me was like going fast, and I don't care what it looks like or feels like. Like just go fast for the sake of going fast. Like I think that was probably one of the big takeaways, because I had never heard anyone talk about that. And so like just doing the speed stuff, like in regards to like mechanics, right? Draws, reloads, stuff like that. Making myself, like looking back, it was like, okay, you were inoculating yourself to the way that stuff felt. Therefore, the speed stuff just started happening automatically. And since it was happening automatically, I didn't have to think about it, which created more bandwidth for me to do things like, okay, run over to this, you know, remember a stage plan, run over here, shoot, like land, put that foot right here in that stage. And so three matches in that class, I got bumped to M. So like seven matches into USPSA, I got bumped to M, and I barely squeaked in. It was like 86% or something. And like right now, I'm currently, I think like 0.3% away from G. But training has completely changed. And this is what I want this podcast to be about, talking to interesting people about interesting things in regards to training. And I think what the both of us are super passionate about, and stuff that I could talk about until the cows come home, is how to train. Like different training strategies, like things that you might not do in a match, or you might not do in real life, but you do it on the range because of what you're trying to get out of it. And I think this is the stuff that, you know, people typically don't understand, right? Like I notice these days, like you go to a class, and I always ask in the beginning of every class, like, hey, give me something, like a short thing that you are currently working on in your training. And it's typically the same answer. And I always ask this not because I'm like going to change anything or anything like that in regards to the class, but like I'm always just curious, like where people's heads are at in training. And I think people understand, or they have an idea about what they want to look like in regards to the shooting. Like, hey, I want to be able to shoot like that, and I want to be able to do these things, but they don't know how to get to that point. And so like, this is the stuff that we talk about in classes, how to train specifically. You know, like this is the stuff that I think, you know, like looking back, like taking classes with Ben and Joel, like very, very influential. It was like, to me, the first class with those guys felt like the first time I took a Frank Proctor class or Stephen Pinot class. It's like, okay, this is like next level. All right, now this is next level. This is the stuff that I want to work on. And every time I'd go home with homework, and to me that is like super freaking important. Like, will you get better out of class? Yeah, for sure. Probably because you just fired 1,000 rounds and you're super warmed up. That's it. Right? But I want the cold level of skills to get more and more and more and more. And that's the stuff that we look at in classes, how to train.
Yeah. I mean, and what's funny is people do understand it. For some reason, there's this mental break where people group shooting as this separate thing and you don't think about it like you think about every other athletic endeavor. Because at the end of the day, it's an athletic endeavor, right? That's what I mean. It's a, yes, it's with guns, but it's an athletic endeavor. But like, you don't see anybody bat an eyelash when football players are, you know, running footwork drills and you know, running through tires and shit. And no one's like, why are they doing that? You're not going to do that in a football game. It's just understood that like this is a you know they're isolating skill and working on this thing even if it's just conditioning like there's a reason that they don't just scrimmage all the time and that's the only way they practice, but for some reason when you throw out the same you know analogous sort of training routine for shooting even something as simple as like bar hop where like it is an analogy. Yeah. For a competition or a shoot, like you will do that footwork in a stage or in a shootout, like you
whether
will.
You know it or not.
But people still see that and are like, "Well, that's what utility does this have for me?" And I don't. It is weird to me that there's that mental break that people don't understand that, like, guys, it's the same thing. We're isolating fundamental. We know what the fundamentals are. We're isolating these skills and these movements so that we can build up to these fundamentals and get to where you want to be performing. And it's just, it's not a unique thing, but for some reason, when it comes to shooting, it is to people. They can't get their heads around like, but that's not what's going to happen in the streets. Well, yeah. No shit. I know that. That's not what we're trying to do here.
I have a couple of theories on this. I think the first one is for the people that would say that type of stuff, they're saying that because the stuff that we're talking about, like how to train, isolating specific tasks in in the shooting piece, like maybe it's trigger press, maybe it's grip, maybe it's vision, like you're isolating different things to work on them separately to be able to put it all together. Quite honestly, that's a lot of work.
It is.
It's a lot of work. And so I think when people say like, that's not how it would go down. It's like, yeah, you're just like fucking the idea of actually working at something, in my opinion. Right. And then you could say like, oh, I'm just a defensive shooter. And that's kind of just like an excuse, I think, at this point. So it's like, I don't know. When I hear that, it's like, well, tell me you don't want to get better without telling me that you don't want to get better. Right.
Right. And I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. There's been all kinds of sayings about it that have existed for, you know, forever that are like, well, when the time comes, you're never going to regret the hours you put into it. But, you know, there's still some truth to that. Like if you're really serious about this, then why would you not at least kind of explore these things? And that's, you know, it's the reason that I've stuck with training with you for so long. And because it's the way that I think about stuff. And that is like, I will not reject an idea unless it's just absolutely ridiculous. But even then, I won't reject an idea until I've at least taken the chance to understand where it's coming from and what's driving it, and then try it out and see if it's worth doing. But then I also will not, you know, I will not form, or try, I'm still a human, but try not to form emotional attachments to any particular thing, right? And I think that's driving a lot of it too, is people have emotional attachments to the way that they do things, and it is 100%. Definitely driven by they don't want to have to do it a new way because it sucks. I mean, shit, when we changed, you know, the minor change between grip the hell out of the gun with both hands to, hey, maybe you should be letting up with your firing hand and smashing it even harder with your support hand. I mean, it was 6 months for me of and granted, I've had two kids in the last year. My training time has gone, whoa! But it took me 6 months of work to be able to consistently make that work for me. And not just make it work, because when I was doing it right, it worked, right? But to consistently, like, draw the gun and have the grip that I wanted and do a reload and have the grip that I wanted. And that's, like, 6 months sucked. It was a... like going to the range and beating on myself and going, why do you suck so bad? And hazing myself into it. And it would have been a lot easier for me to be like, meh, the way I'm doing it works just fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't move forward that way. I'd still be doing a tactical turtle and you know, searching and assessing behind me if that was the way that I wanted to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Not to beat a dead horse, but I almost feel like there's, like, the people that say, like, oh, it's good enough, things like that. I do defensive type of stuff. It's usually the same type of group, right? Like, those people are okay with being mediocre. And not to sound like an absolute turd, but, like, it's true. And to me, like, anything that I do in life, whether it is getting married, having kids, like, it is 100% or nothing at all.
That's right.
Right? And so, to me, it's like, man, when I hear that stuff, it's almost like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Like, how can a grown man be okay with being mediocre and not trying to get better at, you know, something that, you know, could potentially save his life or his family's life, or just, you know, make him better in regards to,
well, and
a sport, right? Like, man, how can you not want to go do that? It's like not even in my vocabulary. It's weird.
I think it is. I mean, I'm sure there's a bazillion reasons, because I'm with you. I mean, it, like, I can't, and I have to be careful about what hobbies I get into, because I'm the same way. I will, like, if I like it, I'm gonna go buy all the shit, and it's all on me a little bit.
100%.
But I think, man, it comes down to those people don't even recognize that they aren't the best, right? Or don't want to recognize. Mm-hmm. There are so many egos, and I don't even want to say in the gun world, because there's egos in every world. There's egos in the corporate world, there's egos in every sport, but, like, there are egos in the gun world, and I don't think that they recognize that they do need to get better, because they won't.
Right.
And I think that's why they push back on, you know, a lot of this. Again, it's the usual characters, you know, won't go to a match, not because I don't think they really believe it isn't valuable. They just don't want to get their ass kicked and then have to actually reckon with the fact that they suck.
For sure.
If they live in their own little bubble, you know, they're the best guy. They're the best shooter on every line that they show up to. They can teach, you know, Bob down the street how to shoot, because Bob doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. And so, you guys, then they don't need to get better. But,
yeah.
Like, again, when you expose yourself to that stuff, which is just, you know, when you're obsessed with it in the right way and you expose yourself to that stuff and you see, like, oh, no, I do suck. then if you see that and still choose not to change anything, then, yeah, you know, you are lost to the world.
I oftentimes think the training community, if we want to call it that, is to blame for a lot of this. And what I mean is, like I recently had a conversation. It was a IG live with Matt Branca, Chris Palmer, and a guy named Officer Cake, right? One thing that struck me as just absolutely wild, and maybe this is just me, like, not remembering where I came from, probably not, but one thing that struck me as absolutely insane was he was proposing to mount the rifle in a different way, but had no principles in regards to how he was actually evaluating that technique. And I think the training community as a whole, for probably the last, who knows, as long as I can remember, I haven't been in it forever. I've been training for, gosh, I guess a little over a decade now. But I think the training community as a whole is very guilty of teaching people this stuff. And what I mean is, like, they'll just teach techniques. For instance, like, a good example of this would be, like, hey, this is the Velox grip on the pistol, right? You're going to put your hands just like this. And when you do that, everything is going to be great. Or you're going to press the trigger. I'm going to call this the Velox trigger press, right? And then when you do this, everything is going to be great. It's going to solve all of your problems. And, you know, like, training classes oftentimes, like, come up with these, like, little gimmicks to get people, like, better right then and there. Like, there's a bunch of them in terms of, like, finding the dot. Like, man, you search the internet, you will find, like, Google like how to find a red dot. There's probably 100 freaking instructors doing something different. Drop it down from 12, add pinky pressure, or like do this one thing, you know, stand on one foot and like hold your head sideways and you'll find like there's all of this stuff. But what all of this stuff lacks is ways to evaluate it. And that's what I think that guy who we had on the live, Officer Cake there, I think that's what he was realizing as we were talking to him. But it's not just him. Like, I'm not trying to pick on him. He got picked on enough. But like, I think that's what people oftentimes don't realize is like, they think that like, hey, I'm just going to put my hands like whoever, pick a guy, Bob Vogel.
Oh, it's like, totally. Yeah.
It's like, man, that you have no way to measure this. So like, there's no principles for this. And so I think like principle-based training, you know, this is the stuff that, you know, unfortunately is new-ish, I guess. Again, I haven't been around forever, but from what I've noticed is like, this is kind of sort of new, like principle-based training, right? Like training to the point of failure, this way you can see things happen and start to figure out like, hey, okay, like cause and effect things. Like when I do this one thing with my hand, it causes the gun to do this. And that is not one of the principles, or it's not meeting the principle that I'm trying to look to in regards to training. So like a good example of this, you know, we talk about this in every class. Like when we start talking about grip and vision, one of the big principles of this is the gun needs to behave in a very predictable manner. Okay. So like, if I tell you like, hey, put your hands like this, be okay, that would be wrong, right? Because people can put different pressures on the gun and start making it behave in an unpredictable manner. And so like giving people things to look for in regards to figuring out if that thing, that technique is actually working, I think is paramount for people. And then they could take that home and start training on it at home on their own, because now they have things to look for and they have a way to measure success.
That's right.
So like figuring out how to train is such a big deal.
It's ultimately, it's results based, right? And again, this exists in every world where at the end of the day, I know what the result should be, right? I want 2 alpha in a short amount of time.
Sure.
Whatever. How everybody gets there is going to be, so yes, you say like the gun has to be predictable, but the reason we want the gun to be predictable is so that you can shoot faster. Because at the end of the day, again, we're looking for results. If you can outshoot me single hand standing on one foot.
Sure.
That's your technique. We're looking for
results. I'm probably going to try it too.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm like,
all right,
the way to do it.
But I mean, like it exists. Like I said, I grew up competition water skiing, and at the end of the day, the goal is get around 6 balls at your speed at a short line length. If you watch YouTube videos of anybody doing it, everybody looks a little different, but the techniques change. This West Coast style came in when I was in high school, where guys were dropping their asses backwards, and so they did. My dad and I watch a video of that and go, "You should try that." You know, the way we're doing it's working, but we're like, we should try that. And it worked great for my dad. For me, did not improve. So out the window went that for me. But again, it's measured on, is this improving what my performance is? There was no, at the same time, our friend Pete Wise took a class with a guy down in Florida who told him, it's funny how all of this stuff is just the same, told him a way to do it. And he came back and was like, this is the way you have to do it. Did it improve his performance? Absolutely not. Did he stick with that forever because that's the guy who told him to do it? Yes, he did. And, you know, I get real wrapped around the axle about this. I take a pretty strong stance on, like, the guys who do that, and there are varying degrees to which people do it. I think some of it is just a marketing ploy, right? It's a way to get
100% back to
class. And, yeah. Like, I understand that this may be somewhat hyperbolic, but like, I think that's borderline immoral, because you're setting people up for like, this is not, as much as it may be the same, this is not water skiing. Because at the end of the day, you are teaching somebody something that they're supposed to take home. And yeah, it may be a sport on the weekends, but like it could affect their health and safety, or, you know, their lives. And like, I kind of take issue with that. I think it's immoral. I think there are guys who are really bad about it, who market things that I think they know are bullshit because there are people who will fall for it. I think there are guys who do it because they genuinely see results in a class and say, look, I'm improving people in this class, but they're not thinking long-term or not being honest about the effect that it will have on their students long-term. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, having to untrain some of these techniques that are out there because people cling to them for so long and they're really not effective. And it hampers their ability to grow as a shooter in the long-term. So, like I said, it may be an extreme kind of take on it, but I think it's a moral failing of some of these people.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think in terms of like the shooting instruction, like if you're going to teach, especially cops, stuff that's just like marketing stuff, like, dude, that guy could use that like legit right now. Right. If he goes on duty right now, he could use it. And so for me, it's like, there is a moral obligation to tell people like the exact way that they should be training, right? And I think there's been such like, for such a long time, we've heard like, oh, you go to this class and you get better. But it's like, that's not the case, man. Like, you're not building any skills in 2 days' time, right? Like, ask Christian Seiler, like, did you get better in 2 days? Like, the answer would be no, man. It was built over time. And like, there's specific things that he looks at in regards to training. Like, so I think for me, like, I take that super freaking serious, man. Like, I want people to leave the class knowing what to do when they leave there, having at least 6 months to a year's worth of homework. Like, it's very, very, very important to me. But yeah, I would agree that I think the whole like marketing, like teaching marketing things is, it's just borderline. It's not borderline immoral. It is fucking immoral.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gripes my ass whenever I see that stuff.
And again, you know, there are like, some of it's just supposed to be fun, right? And I think drawing a distinction, and this is, again, I think it's a bit of a moral failing, but I think there is an obligation for people to also draw a distinction between, we're doing this for fun. Like, we're teaching civilians land nav and shit. I got no problem with it.
Sure.
It's fun.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But market it as, I mean, tell everybody that this is fun. Like,
market it as such.
Right. This is fun. They're not going to make you a Green Beret. Like, get out of your head. I got no problem with people teaching it. I think there is the problem is that people pitch it as, we're going to make you, you know, Jason Bourne.
Yes.
Come on out and you're going to be, you know, we're going to prepare you for the end of the world. And you're not, you know, you're not doing him any favors. Again, you know, I like doing this stuff. It's fun. I've got my 10 pairs of Crys in the closet and all the, you know, cool guy stuff. And I'll bring a pair of ORD because apparently it's more of a fashion show than I expected. But like, you know, be honest with yourself. It's, you know, people have to be honest with themselves too, but you know, be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. What is the goal of this thing, and what really are you getting out of it?
Yeah, I agree. I think this was a banger. This was a good first banger here. It's a good start to this. So hopefully people get the gist of what this is going to be about.
You know me, Nick. I don't have much of a filter, and I've tried to keep a filter, but what I do have are some very strong opinions.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I honestly appreciate when people don't have a filter, even when I disagree.
Yeah.
I think it's more frustrating when people disagree, but they have a filter on because they don't want to offend anyone. And it's like, dude, I just would rather have an interesting conversation with you, even if we disagree.
Well, Jared, I'm repping Park Mountain Machine right now, actually. Jared and I had an interesting conversation about that the other day. People are, and this is universal, people are incapable anymore of having conversations without injecting emotions into it. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that that's what this will be, because there are, I mean, like, there has to be a place for educated discussion to happen, right? For an exchange of thoughts on this kind of stuff. Because while I think I'm right all the time, and I want to make sure, like, my wife knows that I'm right all the time, I'm probably not. Like,
sure.
There's stuff out there, like, so, but, like, that doesn't exist very many places, to be honest. Like, people are too emotional. There's a lot of echo chambers. Like, you go on somebody, people, and that's, I'll give Officer Cake a lot of credit for showing up. Now, it may have just been, he may not have known what he was getting into.
I don't know.
I tried to
kind of sort of tell him what it was going to be about, but.
I'll give him a lot of credit for showing up and sticking in there. I don't agree with a lot of where his head was. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff he said, but he showed up and he hung out and didn't get into a yelling match. And, you know, I'll give him credit for that. It may move, you know, if one cop who thinks like him sees that and goes, oh shit, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I wasn't right about how I was thinking, because I thought like that guy, then, you know, mission accomplished, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fundamentally disagree with almost everything that he fucking said. and for a good reason, right? It's not, there's no, like, ego or anything driven by my, like, what I'm saying. Like, when we're talking about, you know, train, like, how to train, and, you know, like, you might hear us talk about competition and stuff. It's like, well, that is the catalyst for how to get better. And I, in regards to, like, the shooting piece, and I think, like, when you see, like, these quote-unquote defensive type shooting classes, it's like the shooting in the class really sucks. And, like, that's the thing that is going to help you win. So if, like, if we're rolling around on the ground and, like, checking our fucking six, it's like, and the shooting piece still sucks, dude, what are you doing, right? Like, give me a blue gun. And give that guy a blue gun, and let's see who wins.
Right.
Because, like, the shooting piece needs to happen subconsciously. And, like, that's what we're after here. And, like I said in the very beginning, like, my goal with shooting is to better protect my family and myself. It still is, right? And, like, I have a lot better understanding of what I actually need to do to do that. Now, I'm not saying I don't need to take any sort of, like, grappling or you know, those type of classes. But the shooting piece has to be subconscious. It has to run in the background. You can't be thinking about how to hit things.
Yeah.
That stuff just has, you can't be thinking about how to be fast. Like, that stuff just has to happen all on its own. And that's the stuff that we talk about in our classes.
Well, that's, again, like, so there's two things there, right? So competitions are important because, like, I can't go get in a gunfight every day to practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't get better by testing my skills on the streets, although North Charlotte, I probably could.
I've heard.
But so one, like, how else am I going to test it? It's the best way to do it. And then I lost my train of thought. But yeah, you have to be able to test skills some way and figure out, you know, am I actually getting better? Mm-hmm. And I have yet to find a better way to do that. Oh, the other piece I was going to say is, and then, you know, when you talk about how do you, yes, there is the aspect of, like, okay, if I want to broaden my skill set after the shooting part, that's fine. But, like, that's not the business we're in terms of what Velox is. And that is, you know, we're not going to teach you that stuff. I'm not going to teach you how to roll around and kick in doors. But, like, and I told you this story the other day, my uncle runs a ski mountain out in Washington, and they hired a guy who owns a private fleet of Blackhawks, and, like, all he does is fly back Blackhawk helicopters on a, like, for construction jobs and fire jobs and whatever. But
that's dope.
The Army brings him in to train people how to fly helicopters. He's never been in the military. He's a hippie. I mean, he lives in, like, Eastern Washington. He's a off the grid, like, long hair, beard, you know, creepy looking guy who's never flown a helicopter in combat, but there are no better helicopter pilots, and that's who they hire to teach them to fly, like, weird helicopter shit. They don't hire some guy who has all of these other skill sets and also flies helicopters. They hire the helicopter guy to teach them to do the helicopter stuff. And then when they're doing combat stuff, the helicopter flying is subconscious because they're looking out the window, watching incoming fire, and doing all of the kind of stuff that I don't understand. But the helicopter flying is subconscious. And that's the kind of thing that I think we're trying to get at, is to provide these other guys the ability to kick in doors and handle suspects, whatever the hell they have to do. The shooting part has to not be something they're thinking about. And that's ultimately the goal, right? I mean, that has to be the benchmark for people, is make this stuff subconscious. And I think that's what gets missed, is it's just part of the game for people. Mm-hmm.
The other part that gets missed is, like, they go, well, how does people think, like, hey, how does shooting a match test the subconscious level of skills? And it's like, it tests it because, well, I'll speak from my experience. Like, going to nationals, I know people are going to look up my score on practice score because of who I am, right? That's pressure. I'm standing on the howitzer squad, right? So, like, I have dudes behind me who, you know, I'm trying to beat. Like, I'm sitting there watching the super squad, and I'm like, be super cool to beat one of these guys. and by the way, this is my first nationals. It is a 3-day match, 20 stages. It's 20 cold starts, right? You get 5 minutes to look at the stage, come up with a game plan, and then someone says, are you ready? Yes. All right. Show me what you got. And if it is stressful, right? And so, like, the shooting skills need to be subconscious. I can't be thinking about how to hit stuff on a stage. Like, shooting a match is only going to help. And, like, for me personally, this is the stuff that drives a lot of my training. Now, I don't get to shoot a ton of matches because, like, I'm flying around, you know, the country teaching people. But, like, when I do, I take it very seriously. Like, even shooting a local match, like, dude, I'm treating it like it's nationals. Like, I want to freaking win, man. I want to crush everyone that's here. Now, does that happen every time? No. But it's a good test to see, like, hey, this is where I'm at today. And, you know, if you start paying attention, which we're going to talk about in a bunch of different podcasts, there'll be a reoccurring theme. If you pay attention good enough, it's like, oh, well, that one thing kept popping up,
yeah,
right? Or when I transitioned to steel, I felt like I was staring at the dot. Like, you start applying cause and effect to some of this stuff, and it starts, you know, basically mapping out how your next range day is going to be, or how your dry fire plan may or may not change. So, shooting matches is totally important, in my opinion, very important.
Even if you don't completely subscribe to matches or everything, and, like, for neither of us, it's not like it's our day job. Like, there are guys who do it, and that's their whole job is shooting matches. It's not my day job. It's what, $20 to go to the go shoot match? $30?
$35, and you will have the best shooters in the state.
So, I mean, even if you don't subscribe to any of this, is there a cheaper, more approachable way to test your skills? Even if let's just pretend for a minute that, like, that is gamership. So go with your full battle rattle, you know, corner check corners and stuff. Yeah. Like, fine, do it. Still, it's like, I would still tell you to go. I think by a match or two in, you'll change your mindset. But, like,
by getting bullied.
Right. But still, is there a better, cheaper, more approachable way to go test whatever skills you have? I mean, you're going to show up and you're going to throw some deltas. So you're going to go home with some data, whether you're doing the gamer shit or not. So I have a hard time. I struggle with people who just completely reject matches at all. I think it will illuminate what you need to do no matter what direction you want to go.
These are the same dudes that are like, well, you know where all the targets are, and that's not realistic. And it's like, yeah, man, you're probably still going to forget one or two.
Yes.
I won't. But you probably will if you have that mindset, right?
I remember that first rifle match, the Noveski rifle match we shot. Like,
oh, man, I wish they still had those.
We probably missed, I don't know, over the course of the day, probably 10 targets.
Different times. Yes. God, I wish they still had those, man. It was so much fun.
That was
basically a USPSA match with a rifle. Like, it was mega fun. And I think it was a 2-day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
Yeah, it was freaking awesome. Anyway, Max, this was a banger. This was a banger first episode. I have a big ass list of people that we're going to have on. I think I already have the first one picked out, and he's a cop. The trains, I'm not going to give it all away, but trains to a very high level, and is a very smart guy. So, yeah, that's what this podcast is going to be all about. Train smart, how to train, man, like things that you need to do in your range days and your dry fire, things to pay attention to. And hopefully we'll get it from, you know, a bunch of different people. So, you know, if, you know, say me or Max don't vibe with like what we're saying, maybe you're not getting it right. Maybe the person that we have on will, to me, that's an asset. So like having a different opinion on, or someone that says things in a different way, is a very good thing. So, that's what this podcast is going to be all about.
I'm a product designer, and different backgrounds, right? I'm a product designer. Like it's going to mean something different coming from a cop or somebody who shoots forces. You know, it's going to mean something different. So yeah, I'm psyched, man. It's going to be a good time.
This was a banger. Also, if you want to check out where the classes are, if you've stuck with us this long, go to veloxtraininggroup.com. You click that register button. You could see where all of the classes are going to be. Still have a bunch that I need to put up for 2025, pending my boss's approval. If you don't see me in a place that you would want to see me in, all you got to do is shoot me an email. It's super freaking easy to host. Basically, anyone can host. There's a couple quick little steps. I am very easy to host as well. Like, I don't need a whole lot, man. I need some target stands, some staples, and some pacers, and maybe a couple barrels here and there. I don't need much. So if you want to see me in a place that I'm not currently listed as going to, like, shoot me an email, and yeah, man, we can get there. Max, this was great.
A day, man. Looking forward to it.
If you guys have any questions or would like to hear anything on these things too, please shoot me or Max a DM on Instagram, or you can shoot me an email, and yeah, we'll have your question on the podcast. I think it would be great.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in, guys.